When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. It is with great pleasure that we welcome back former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, a great friend. He's a best-selling author. He's a Fox News contributor. He's the author of Defeating Big Government Socialism, Saving America's Future. His initiative is the American Majority Project. Actually, Newt, does your new book you're about to put out, does that have a title yet?
Yeah, it's going to come out in June. It's called March to the Majority, and it's the story of how we spent 16 years winning a majority for the first time in four decades, and then what we did to negotiate with Clinton and get a very big series of conservative reforms enacted. So I think people will find it useful both as history but also as kind of a practical guide for the current Congress.
Yeah, that's terrific. So it can pre-order it on Amazon, stuff like that.
You can pre-order it. It's called March to the Majority.
Great. I love selling books, especially your books. So, Newt, a couple things. Sarah Huckabee Sanders stole the show Tuesday night. I mean, that's a very important point. Tell us.
I wrote a newsletter at Gingrich 360 entitled A Star is Born.
All right.
I was sitting there sort of watching Biden. Now, I always wonder if he goes slowly out in order to push the Republicans back. But in any event, I thought his speech was breathtakingly dishonest, which meant, of course, that the elite media loved it because they're equally dishonest. But then she came on, and she was so good. I compared it to Reagan's 1964, A Time for Choosing. I mean, she went to basic values. Mm. She said what virtually all of us believe. And I thought it was remarkable.
Normal or crazy? You can't put it any better than that.
That's right. And sadly, it's true.
And, normal, like, in your effort, the American majority to put a coalition together, there was a time, right, in our lifetime, there was a time when the Democratic Party was far more normal and worked with Republicans in normality. I mean, unanimous votes for Reagan's tax reform and defense and so forth. So now it's crazy. And I thought she nailed them on that.
No, I thought she did. And as recently as when we passed welfare reform, we got half the Democrats to vote with us. Mm-hmm. So there was a base. I mean, I think of it as common sense Democrats. You may have noticed that in New Jersey, an entire township, the city council and the mayor all switched to Republican last week. And just said they'd had it. And I think that kind of thing, the culture war fight in the schools, the racism that they're advocating, the gigantic government spending with inflation and higher taxes and bigger deficits. I think all those things are actually driving people out of the Democratic Party. And Myra Miller, who is a partner at the Winston Group, wrote a piece the other day and pointed out that there were, I think, 6 or 8 million fewer identified Democrats in 22 than there were in 18. Hmm. That the effect of Biden has been to shrink the Democratic Party.
It's hard to believe, just on that point, Newt, the polls are so clear the Democratic Party does not want him to run again. Now, he may be politically, I don't know, his position as president, there's nobody opposing him yet. Maybe he's stronger than folks, but the rank and file don't want him.
Well, it's worth remembering when you spend, several trillion dollars a year and you have an entire cabinet that can go out and campaign for you. Jimmy Carter beat Teddy Kennedy and Gerald Ford beat Ronald Reagan. And incumbent presidents, at least in terms of the nomination. Now, Ford lost the general election and Carter lost the general election. But the internal power of a president is pretty amazing. Although I did notice Mark Halperin in his daily newsletter made the point the other day that when you see the numbers, and CBS News had some just devastating numbers about, not about Biden personally, but about his policies, it indicated he had a baseline of about 20-30% support. When you get those kind of numbers, those first couple of primaries can be devastating. And you may remember that Lyndon Johnson, who had won a gigantic election in 64, assumed he was going to be renominated in 68 until the New Hampshire primary. And while he won it by such a narrow margin, he promptly announced he was not going to run again. And so I think when you get to people going into a secret ballot, if anybody has the courage to run, and somebody will, Biden is suddenly going to face a real test of people who say not him.
You know, if you go through his State of the Union speech, okay, I was doing Fox News duty that night, and I'm sitting with Brett Baer and others reading the thing and then listening to him. He scratched every left-wing itch in the Democratic Party. And if you totaled up, took an adding machine, an old-fashioned adding machine, God knows over the next 10 years plus, he's probably going to spend another $5 trillion. He's going to have cross-the-board tax increases on successful earners, on corporations, on oil companies. He wants to impose fees and tell, you know, hotels and resorts how to behave, sell companies what to charge, all this stuff. It was interventionist, expensive, and anti-growth, one thing after another, Newt.
Well, I mean, if you want to know what I meant by the term big government socialism,
yes,
you got it in that speech. It is the belief that the President of the United States has the power and the wisdom to interfere in every single aspect of our lives. And it is sort of Santa Claus, you know, on steroids. I mean, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that, I'm going to give you the next thing. And by the way, don't worry about paying for it. Well, we just lived through the experience. When you don't worry about paying for it, it comes back as inflation. And so that was the most pro-inflation, pro-debt, pro-tax increase speech I think any president's ever given at a State of the Union.
And he lied about inflation. He blamed Trump. Huh?
Look.
Its inflation rate was 1.4%. The economy was growing at 6.5% in the winter of 2021. He's blaming Trump.
Yeah, well, I thought Laura Ingraham had a great line. I did her show the next night. And she had a whole opening riff about Fantasy Island and that Biden is living on Fantasy Island. And I thought it captured it perfectly. This is why the normal versus crazy point that Sarah made, that, you know, the fact is, in order to believe Biden's speech, you have to believe in an alternative universe. Again, he claimed the border was fine. He claimed he had really taken care of the Chinese. You know, there was a challenge and we met it. Well, that's baloney. The balloon went all the way across the country, and only when it left America did they shoot it down after having allowed it to spy for 7 days. The border's clearly not controlled. And for Biden to be able to stand there with a straight face and say it is just a lie. And, of course, he then demagogued and lied about Medicare and Social Security. I mean, the question the press should be asking Biden is, so since it is inevitably going to go bankrupt on the current trail, what is your plan?
Right, right. Exactly. These cheap shots distract from the real problem, which is all the official estimates are you got 5 to 10 years max for both funds, and we're going to have to do something about it. And if you don't want to do it as far as, you know, a debt limit, CR, whatever they're going to do, I'll talk to you about that in a little bit. Set up a Reagan-like commission. Remember?
Exactly.
Greenspan, no, Moynihan.
I'm writing a newsletter saying that those two topics in particular can't be handled in the current political environment, but you could do a commission now.
Right.
To report back in 25, and you could make it genuinely nonpartisan.
Right.
Because if you remember, the commission Reagan put together, I think Greenspan chaired.
Yes.
And people respected it. People thought, hey, these are serious people doing a serious thing.
With Pat Moynihan, Newt, and with Lane Kirkland of the AFL-CIO. Look, I was a deputy at OMB, and I was like a staff person for that commission. And they worked pretty fast. You know, they worked, it took them about a year, as I recall, but they turned out a product, Newt, that lasted 50 years, some odd. So let's do that. So Biden should, you know, these cheap shots at Republicans and so forth are besides the point. The point is 150 million people will get hurt if the funds go under.
Well, and I think this is an argument Republicans have to win in 24. And I was a little surprised the other day, Mark Halperin in his column said, you know, that because of the news media bias, there is one side demagoguing Medicare and Social Security and one side trying to solve it. The side trying to solve it's called Republican, and the side demagoguing it's called Democrat, and the news media simply won't do its job and won't tell the truth. And I think that's where we are now. But I think we have to take Biden head on this and say, fine, what is your plan? Show us how you would save Medicare and Social Security over the next 30 or 40 years.
Somebody's got to step up and say that. That's exactly right. I haven't seen that yet. But they need to. Yeah. Instead of dodging, you know, Rick Scott said what he said. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Right. I don't care. Ron Johnson said what he said. Look, Joe Biden was for sunsetting Social Security when he was a senator in, 2007. And that's not the point. The point is what you're saying. Somebody's got to stand up and say, we have a big problem coming down the road. Okay, and if the economy keeps slumping, Newt, for another 5 years, that problem's going to come even faster. Because you need 3.5% growth. You see what I'm saying? Somebody's got to stand up and say that.
Well, and frankly, both Scott and Johnson, I'll just say flatly, I'm in favor of saving the systems. Mm. I offered an idea to save them. A veto pen doesn't save them. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, dancing around the stage with a veto pen, you're not fixing anything. You're just demagoguing. I think we have to win. We have to win that argument.
Oh, I think you're right. Biden is just so profoundly dishonest. You used that word before. I think it's like in his genes.
Look, if you elect the Sopranos, you should not expect honesty.
Yes.
I mean, I think the family's corrupt, period.
Yeah.
I think that there is zero explanation for Hunter Biden's money from China, Russia, Ukraine, et cetera, other than that he was influence peddling and his father knew it. So that's, you know, that's just straight out corruption.
Why do you think, Newt, this is off subject, but nothing's off subject with you. Why do you think last weekend Biden's, I mean, come on, the Defense Department works for Biden, for Christ's sakes. Why did they wait and let this balloon, first of all, hover in Montana where there are no people? My wife is from Montana. We were married there. There are no people in Montana. Hovered over Montana for several days where all the Minutemen, you know, anti-ballistic missiles, the nuclear ballistic missiles are, and then float through the other bases through the heart of the country. Why did they wait? The most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. And everybody knew as soon as it was discovered that it was China.
Well, I mean, first of all, it became clear, if the White House story is true, that they didn't tell him until Wednesday. And on Wednesday, he ordered them to shoot it down, and they refused to do it. It suggests that rather than being the commander-in-chief, he's the suggester-in-chief. So start there. And frankly, it's not unusual to have the Defense Department undermine the president. One of the things Harry Truman said when Eisenhower got elected president is that Ike was going to face a real shock because you'd issue an order in the Oval Office and some bureaucrat would make sure it didn't happen. And I think that's part of it. But we're now learning, if I understand this, and I'm not sure I do, we apparently are now learning that there have been lots of Chinese balloons.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, in fact, a technology the Chinese have been developing both for carrying weapons and for carrying intelligence gathering, that apparently there may have been a series of them crossing the U.S. And now again, apparently, and I say apparently because I don't trust anybody right now, apparently we shot one down off of Alaska yesterday. And I have to tell you, as somebody who used to be in the Gang of Eight and who spent his entire career looking at military affairs, I don't understand. I mean, I think you have a Pentagon which, between bureaucracy and wokeism, may be the least competent Defense Department since the Spanish-American War. I mean, this is just, you know, they were incompetent in Afghanistan. They've been incompetent at getting weapons to the Ukrainians. They're incompetent at dealing with Chinese balloons. And I think this is a national scandal, and that overhauling and reforming the Pentagon ought to be a major component of where we go.
Did you see the piece in the paper today, somewheres, Trump's last defense secretary, acting defense secretary, what's his name, Chris Miller, was that his name?
No, was it Esper?
No, it was after Esper.
The one after Esper would be Miller.
I think it was Miller. Anyway, Miller said you could cut half the budget in the Pentagon and still be okay. That's how bad it is over there.
Well, I tell people, the Pentagon was built in 1943, so it's basically 80 years old. It was designed for 26,000 people using carbon paper, manual typewriters, and filing cabinets to manage a global war.
Right.
Now, tell me the information exchange rate between smartphones, iPads, and laptops versus carbon paper, manual typewriters, and filing cabinets, and then explain to me why we still have 26,000 people sitting in the Pentagon. I've said for 2 years, we could cut the Pentagon to a triangle, turn the other two-thirds of it into a national security museum, and you would literally get a better, more agile defense system.
I love that. But it just shows you, there is room to cut, for heaven's sakes. And you're not going to sacrifice national security. No. Stay with me. Have more of your coffee. I'm going to come back, take a quick break, and you and I'll talk some more.
All right.
Why did you say turn the Pentagon into a triangle? Folks, we're talking to the great Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House. His book is called, his next book, March to Majority. You can pre-order on Amazon. It's going to be a fabulous book. I'm Kudlow, little measly Kudlow. We'll be right back in a moment.
Larry Kudlow. It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're here with former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, best-selling author, Fox News contributor. His most recent published book is called Defeating Big Government Socialism, Saving America's Future. He's got a brand new book out. You can order it on Amazon and wherever else you want to. It's called March to Majority. It's going to be a super book. Newt, you know, these areas, these antiques, Social Security, Medicare, you're talking about the Pentagon, a lot of these agencies, I mean, you can go through transportation. I mean, you know them well. I know them well from my government terms. You're talking about modernization, bring them into the 21st century. Yes, spending will probably wind up being cut over time, but the purpose is modernization to make it more efficient and actually serve the taxpayers and the missions of the U.S. government. That's what has to be communicated, doesn't it? Oh, did we lose him? We lose him. Maybe something went down. But I think, you know, we'll get him a second. He's got a good point. I mean, the Pentagon is a perfect example. And I speak as a hawk, okay? I started my career in the federal government under Ronald Reagan. I am a hawk. But the Pentagon has – all right, Newt's back. Newt.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard my modernization toss.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I did. And here's the point, because I think we need to use some new language.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about cut, it's about savings. You know, when Calista goes online, which she did the other day, to buy something, and she found it from one place for like $46 and looked around and found it from another place for $12, we didn't talk about that as cutting $34.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it as saving $34, and we thought it was actually a smart thing to do. So if I can take whatever the workload is of the Pentagon itself, just that one 26,000-person building, and I can modernize it and recognize that between computers and iPads and smartphones that you don't need 26,000 people pretending they're working on manual typewriters. And, of course, what's happened is you have so many people who are redundant that they have to write letters to other people to prove that their job is worthwhile. So the other person then has to answer their letter. Mm-hmm. So you have a Pentagon that is drowning in bureaucracy. But let me go to a totally different example. They just reported, I think it was on Fox and Friends 2 days ago, they have 23 schools in Baltimore in which not a single student, not one, could, in fact, be proficient in mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
23 schools. Now, you have to – and this is the most expensive school system in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question you have to ask yourself is, what is it we're paying for? I mean, is this just a gigantic, expensive nurseries program in which we babysit? But by the way, we then cheat every single child because they can't get a job. They can't get ahead. They can't rise. And I think these are the kind of conversations we have to have. In New York City, there are an estimated 40% of the students who don't show up.
Mm.
But of course, the school collects the daily amount of money as though they were there,
and gets increases every year.
Right, right. So my point is, if you modernize the federal government, and you go through and you think through these programs, and Philip Howard has a new book coming out, which is amazing, on the whole notion, and he starts with the premise that the public employee unions are by definition unconstitutional because they block government of the people. And I think that this is going to be a huge fight. And the job of, I think, conservatism and Republicans is to make two cases. One is to return to government of the people, by the people, and for the people, which means dramatically restructuring away from the bureaucracies.
Mm.
And the other is to make the case that whether it's through corruption, incompetence, waste, or bureaucratism, you know, using your money in a bad way so it doesn't produce a good result is, in fact, something we should stop.
Yep.
And now, we should be able to win those two arguments.
It's true for all these big departments, too, you know, education, transportation. Anyway, Newt Gingrich, thank you, sir. Terrific stuff.
Great.
We all enjoyed it, and we all benefit from it. Folks, I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to have a look at the economy after this. Please stick around.